Well, today we're going to be jumping back into our series titled The Force Awakens, this series that's taking us through the book of Acts, as I kind of mentioned earlier. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Acts chapter 13. We're going to read out of that in just a second. Last week, if you were here, we had a friend of mine by the name of Tyler Nice, who came up from Eugene and spoke with us. He speaks with us from time to time. Coming back from the pastor's conference, I asked him to come and share. And if you've ever missed Tyler, man, he just is an amazing man of God who loves the Lord, does a great job of sharing the Word. And if you missed it last week, I'd encourage you to go online and to listen to his message. He shared a great word out of Matthew 5, which is one of my favorite scriptures, as he talked about salt and light and God's desire for us to be salt and light in this world. And so if you didn't get to hear that again, you can go online and listen to that message. But today we're gonna pick back up kind of where we left off in Acts 13 a couple weeks ago. And if you remember, if you were here, we left off right after Paul and Barnabas had been prayed on and were being sent out as the first missionaries of the early church. And so we're picking up this morning right here as they head out on this new adventure, and as they go to kind of take the gospel into all the world. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're going to read sections here of chapter 13, verses 4 through 52. A lot of scripture, so I'm going to paraphrase some of it in sections, but we're going to walk our way through it. So beginning in verse 4 of chapter 13, it says this: "The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God to the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul," this is the point here, this is all we get here, this is where it goes from Saul to Paul, right here in this scripture here in chapter 13. It says, So Saul, who was also called Paul, and so from now on we'll know him as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas, and said, 'You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind, and for a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun.' Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went to Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogues and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the synagogue rulers sent word to them saying, 'Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak.'" And here's where I'm going to stop for a minute. I'm going to give you some paraphrase, and we're going to skip kind of through this section, because in this next section, verses 16 all the way through 41, Paul basically begins to speak a message here to the people in the temple. And basically he takes them back to the beginning of time with the Israelites. And this walk through the Israelites and what they went through and the challenges, and then the kings, you know, the judges and the kings, and to David and the line of David, which led to Jesus, right? And Jesus who died on the cross. And basically he goes through the whole history of the people of Israel from the beginning, walking it through, putting the dots together to get you to Jesus and Jesus being the way of salvation for the people today. And so this is the message that Paul speaks. And I encourage you, if you have time, you can go back and look through it. But it's a long section of Scripture here. And so we're going to skip now to verse 42 as he finishes this whole message of the gospel that he's walked through from day one of the Israelites until now. And so he's finished it up. And then he says, beginning in verse 42, "As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, 'We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourself worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.' When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." At the beginning of these verses, Paul and Barnabas, they start off on this great adventure of taking the gospel to the entire world. And I can't help but wonder, is it at all what they expected it to be? Right? Because if we're honest, and I mean if we're truly honest as Christians, I think there are a lot of things in life that are different than we expected, right? Many people enter into this life of Christianity believing that once we say yes to Jesus, all of a sudden, magically, our life gets easier, right? Isn't that happened for you guys? There's a lot of people that believe this, that when they give their life to Jesus, all the problems go away and you can just sit back and coast through life now. But it's not true, is it? And if you've been with us at all through this series, you know that that wasn't true for the early church. Right? Life for the early church, it was this great adventure, some exciting things, right? Full of excitement, full of amazement, but also full of challenges and at times danger. As we know, many of them lost their life along the way. One moment, though, they're experiencing amazing life-changing miracles, and the next, they're being threatened and persecuted and lives being taken. It was this continual up and down adventure as they sought to see God's will accomplished in and through their lives. And though it wasn't easy, right, it was through these lives that the world is changed forever. It's because of these lives that we're here today, able to take on the gospel. And the thing we have to realize is that this adventure that started some thousands of years ago, it's the same adventure that continues today for us. God's desire is that we too would embrace this great adventure that He has for each of us as we desire to follow Him. And the thing He wants us to know is that we shouldn't be afraid of that adventure. Now, the reality is we live in a time and age that can seem a little scary, right? I won't even talk about presidential candidates, okay? There's a lot of scary things going on in our world. But here's the thing we have to understand. It's no different than it was when Paul and Barnabas set out on their journey. Rome in that time, it was a corrupt and perverse place. As corrupt and perverse as our world is today, and maybe even more so, some believe. But like Paul and Barnabas, we're called to make a difference in this corrupt and perverse world. As Tyler shared last week, and as I referenced it, we are to be salt and light. You see, God desires to use us to transform our culture. Not to allow us to conform to the patterns of this world around us, but that we would be transformed in a way that models Christ and His image to the world so that others can be transformed as well. This is the great adventure that Paul and Barnabas had set out on, to live the life that God was calling them to live, and it's the same adventure that God desires us to be a part of. And in these scriptures, we see three things that I think will help us on this adventure. I think it will help us also enjoy this great adventure that He's called us to be a part of. And the first thing is this: if we want to enjoy this great adventure, because in verse 52 it says at the very end, you heard me say, and the disciples were filled with joy. Right after they'd been kicked out, right after they'd been persecuted, they were filled with joy. And if we want to have that joy, if we want to enjoy this great adventure, there's a few things we need to do. And the first one is this: we must stay focused on our guide. This guide for the great adventure, we have to stay focused on the guide. Now, focus is huge for us as Christians. Because when we lose focus, we find ourselves in places that we don't want to be. Now, I'm human. We're all human. And I can certainly understand the difficulties at time of staying focused. And sometimes because of my lack of focus, I know in life I've ended up in places that I don't want to be. I've allowed distractions to pull me off course. I talked about this last week as we were entering into worship. If you were here as we were entering into worship, I talked about distractions. And if you were here, you may remember me referencing the movie Up, right? The great Pixar movie Up. It's a tearjerker. If you haven't seen it, if you're emotional at all, you will cry. But in that movie, there is a dog named Doug, okay, a dog named Doug, say that 10 times quick, who in mid-conversation, and let me just explain here, the reason this dog could talk was because this inventor had created these collars that went around the dog and would say what the dog was thinking, basically, okay? And so this dog, Doug, when he would talk, he'd be in the middle of conversation and suddenly he'd be like, "Squirrel!" Right? He'd turn his head and like, "Squirrel!" You know, and get distracted by the things around him. And it's a perfect depiction, right, of these dogs, you know. "Yes, master." And, "Squirrel!" You know, as it would just turn. And so I love Doug, one of my favorite characters. And as hilarious as this depiction of dogs is, I think it's actually a true illustration of humans as well, of us, right? We too can be easily distracted by things around us, things that pull us off course. One moment we could be heading in this direction, and the next moment, squirrel. What are those squirrels for you, right? You know, chocolate, you know. You know, and when I was in high school, girls, you know. I mean, what are those things that pull us off track? One moment we're heading in this direction, the next moment we're heading in another. And when this happens, we often become frustrated in our walk with the Lord. And the reason we get so frustrated is because we've allowed those distractions to take our focus off Him. And when our focus isn't on God, we end up in places that we don't want to be, doing things that we probably shouldn't be doing. If you look closely at the early church in Acts, you'll see that time and time again, the Holy Spirit provided direction for them. There are numerous times that we've seen as we've walked through the book of Acts where it said the Holy Spirit led them, the Holy Spirit spoke to them, the Holy Spirit was guiding them. And that's exactly what we see here in verse 4 of chapter 13 with Paul and Barnabas. It says, the two of them sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that had sent them. It was the Holy Spirit that was guiding them and directing them. And here's the thing that I've learned in my life. Just knowing that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us on this great adventure can give us peace and can give us comfort. Have you ever noticed how much more relaxed you are when you kind of know where you're heading? When you know where you're going, when you know that you're in a safe place, you don't have this fear of being lost. Because you know when you don't know where you're going, right? There's this fear of, where am I? How did I get here? How do I get back? Right? These fears that become a part of who we are when we're lost because we've allowed distractions to pull us off course. Now, I don't know about you, but I think one of the greatest inventions in the last 10 years, and I know they had them probably before then, but they were just so expensive that no one could afford them unless you were rich. But I think one of the greatest inventions in the last 10 years is the modern day navigational systems. You know, the GPS, right? Or now our phones, the apps that can literally, you pull out your phone, it can guide and direct you to where you want to go. And I love that you don't have to worry about following a map, right? Or written directions. You know, I hated that. You know, the old days, you call someone and, you know, you're right, left, right? And you're like, wait, is that a L or a right? Was I supposed to turn left there or right? Did I mess that up? You know, and you're trying to follow these written directions. Especially when you run into traffic or you run into detours, right? You know, when you have these directions here and you're looking at them and it says turn right and there's a sign saying no right turn, you know, it freaks you out, right? Aren't you like, oh great, I'm supposed to turn there. What am I supposed to do now? How am I supposed to get where I'm going? My directions don't tell me how to turn anywhere else. You guys track with me? I'm the only one here, okay? Most of the guys, they don't know what you're talking about. I just drive until I find where I'm going. It may take me 2 hours, but I will not look at a map. I will not ask for directions. I can actually do a map. I was in the military, and I know how to do maps. I just hate having to worry about maps, okay? Many of you know that my wife was from San Diego. I met her when I was at Camp Pendleton down in the Marine Corps years ago. And so being from San Diego, her family's down there. And so over the last 22 years, we're coming up on here in November, my wife and I. And so for the last basically 21, we moved when we were 6 months into being married down there. And in the last 21 years, we've traveled down to San Diego at least once a year for Christmas or Thanksgiving or summer holidays. So at least once, maybe twice a year, we have to travel. We travel from Oregon down to San Diego. And oftentimes when we hit the LA area, we run into traffic, right? You know, and for us, we used to travel through the night. We had kids. It was just much easier with kids to travel through the night. We would switch off. And actually, before we had kids, we did that too. I had a truck with a canopy that had a thing, and one of us would lay in the back and sleep while the one drove, and then we would switch, and we would drive through the night. And we found it worked for kids as well too. But so we would always get there like into LA like 8 in the morning, you know, and traffic and all that kind of stuff. And so before the years of the GPS, we didn't dare try to go off the freeway. We didn't trust. There are so many freeways heading so many different directions there in L.A. For all I knew, I'd get off on the wrong thing. Next thing I'd be in Canada, okay, when I'm trying to head to San Diego. You know, we just didn't. We had this fear of getting lost, ending somewhere we didn't want to go. But what's interesting, I remember the first time we had the GPS, and those GPSs, it was cool because it would actually, you know, say, warning, traffic ahead, would you like an alternate route? Yes, please, that would be awesome, you know? Yes. And so it was like the first time we actually got off the freeway, but we could see, you know, where we were going, we could watch the route, and we knew it was going to get us back to where we wanted to go. And so we didn't have this fear of getting lost. We didn't have this fear of ending up somewhere where we didn't want to be. We went off the road because we trusted this GPS to guide us where we wanted it to take us. And some of you have horror stories of, oh, my GPS didn't do that. It took me places I didn't want to know. But we trust. Our GPS never failed us, okay? And so we allowed it to take us and to navigate us. And here's the thing. The truth is we have a guide who is much more faithworthy, or much more faithful and trustworthy than a GPS, right? We have the Holy Spirit who lives in us and who provides direction and guidance for our lives. And the key is we have to stay focused on Him. We have to stay focused on the Holy Spirit. He will guide us through this great adventure, and He will give us whatever we need for the ups and downs that we will experience along the way, the detours, the blocked roads. He will give us what we need to get around and to get to where we're going. But let me just say this, a little side note before we go on to the next thing. The reality is, when we stay focused on the Holy Spirit and we walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit, the truth is, we might still find ourselves in places that we don't want to go. But the difference is this, is God has brought us to that place. We didn't get there on our own because we weren't following Him. God has brought us to that place, and He will go before us, and He will give us the strength that we need to face the challenges that come our way. That's what He was doing for Paul and Barnabas. The Holy Spirit had directed them, and they stayed focused on the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave them the direction and the strength and the power to keep moving forward. And that's why it's so important that we stay focused on Him, because there's a big difference between being in the wrong place and facing challenges versus being in the right place and facing challenges. Does that make sense? As we follow and trust, we need to stay focused on the Holy Spirit and allow Him to guide us. The second thing that we need to remember, if we want to enjoy this great adventure, not only must we stay focused on the guide, we must stay focused on the message. We must stay focused on the message. Starting in verse 15, which we kind of skipped, I gave you a paraphrase. Paul begins to deliver this message to the gospel. It's the first message that Paul delivers here in the Bible. And it really has one point, that everything in Israel's history led to the coming of Jesus. He was trying to point that out to the Jews who were missing it, that everything led up to the coming of Jesus. He also points out the fact that Jesus is the focal point to all history. Everything was pointing to Him. He shares that the death and resurrection of Jesus was the fulfillment of the promise that God had made to His people. And that Jesus was clearly the one that God, from the beginning, planned to use to redeem His people from their sins and bring them back into relationship with Him. And the thing we have to remember today is this, is that God's plan has not changed. The same plan that He had from the beginning, that we saw here in the days of Jesus, is the same plan that He has today. Jesus is still the answer. He is the fulfillment of God's plan for redemption, and we have to stay focused on that message. The message is Jesus Christ. And the reality is, it's not easy to stay focused on the message. Our culture tries to convince us that there are more than one way to God. That there's more than one way. Our culture tries to pull us in different directions. It tells us things that, like, religions, all religions, just lead to the same place. But we can't forget the message of Jesus, who He Himself told us that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father, no one finds redemption to God through anyone but Him. Now, as someone who was raised in the church, you know, this seems obvious to me. Of course, it's Jesus. All my life, all I've ever heard is Jesus. It's like my kids. I had a conversation with my son the other day about, he said, "Dad, I wonder what it would be like to come to Jesus later in life." I said, "That's a good question, and I'm glad I don't have to answer it, because I bet it would be a lot harder and a lot more challenging." But my kids, they grew up. I remember my little daughter. "Hey, what'd you learn in Sunday school today?" "About Jesus." Every single week. "What'd you learn about?" "Jesus." That was her answer regardless. And I'm sure she learned about Jesus every week in some way. But she just would say, "What'd you learn about?" Jesus. That's what the message is about. It's through Him. And it seems obvious for people that have grown up in the church, and I'm sure that there are many of you here that believe this and know this to be true. It's about Jesus. How could it be about anything else? But here's the thing, somewhere along the line, there are people out there who call themselves Christians who have lost the focus of the message. Or have lost focus of the message. In a poll, as I was kind of looking into this, I was trying to find some polls on some interesting views that Christians have. Not just that the world has. There were all sorts of things. The world has many different views. But I finally came across a poll taken by the Barna Group 5 years ago. And in this poll, there were three things that it looked at. It was talking about pluralism, but it said this. It said 25% of born-again Christians. Now, that's people who say, I have been born again. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Bible. I'm born-again Christian, okay? 25% of born-again Christians believed all people are eventually saved or accepted by God before they die. He says, all people, 25% believe that. And then 26% of born-again Christians said, it doesn't matter what religious faith you follow because they all teach the same lessons. I don't know about you, but I've seen other books different than this Bible out there in other religions, and they don't teach the same thing. And then this one, 40%, this one blew me away. 40% of born-again Christians indicated that they believe Christians and Muslims worship the same God. If this is the response of people who claim to be born-again Christians, then it's pretty obvious that we need to do a better job of staying focused on the message. The message that Paul shares, the message that Peter shares, all throughout the Bible, the message of Jesus Christ. Staying focused one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, why are we Christians? Is it just because our parents were? Because my kids aren't Christians just because me and my wife are. They have to accept Jesus. They had to ask Jesus into their own life. And they're still at that age where they're going to have to wrestle with some things of what they believe. What is it that we believe? If we call ourselves Christians, do we believe that Jesus is the answer? Do we believe His Word to be true? Because I know a lot of people that believe, well, you know, parts of this, I follow parts of the Bible. That's not what it talks about. Now, I know that there are some things in here that we look at, Old Testament, New Testament, and you got to look into context and why they were for what they were and how things are a little bit different when Jesus came and changed things, right? But we have to be able to say that we don't just pick and choose what we want to follow in here. If God's given us commands, it's for all of us. We have to believe it. Do we believe that Jesus is the message? If so, we need not only stay focused on the message, we need to be living it out. We need to be living like Jesus lived, doing our best. Now, we're not going to be perfect, but we have to do our best to live the life that God's called us to live. God was full of love. God was full of grace. There's a lot of Christians in this world that are graceless, that are loveless, and they've missed the message. They've lost sight of the message. We need to be focused on the message. We need to live the message out and follow Him and the life that He's called us to live, which leads me to our final point. How do we enjoy this great journey that lies before us? The third thing is this: we must stay focused on our mission. We got to stay focused on our guide, the Holy Spirit. We got to stay focused on the message, and then we got to stay focused on our mission. And one of the keys to staying focused on our mission is to know what our mission is in the first place, right? I was in the military, man. How could I carry out a mission if I don't even know what the mission was, right? How can we carry out that mission if we don't know what it is? Why are we doing what we're doing? What is it that we've been called to do in the first place as Christians, as people who give their life to Jesus? It was at the beginning of Acts that we read some 8-9 months ago. How long has it been now? I don't know when we first started this back in January. It was at the beginning of Acts that Jesus gave the apostles and believers their mission. Acts 1:8, He said, go and wait for the guide, right? Wait for the guide who's going to direct you on this great adventure, for the Holy Spirit. Why? So that you could be filled with power to do what? To be His witnesses to the ends of the earth. Jesus came into this world to save us from our sins. That's why we call Him our Savior. That's the good news. And it's not just for us, it's for all people. But the thing we have to understand is He didn't just save us, and you've heard me say this time and time again, He didn't just save us from something. He saved us for something. He saved us from our sins so that we could go and be His witnesses to the world around us, that we could share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's real easy for us to lose focus of that mission. Whether that's as individuals or the church as a whole. Because we are the church as individuals, and as we come together, we're the church. And the thing is as we grow, as the church grows, we experience changes in life. And it's important that we take time to intentionally remind ourselves what our mission is. And we have to remember, it has nothing to do with us. It's not about us. That takes me back to Gareth Elkins, who I talked about earlier today. I remember a blog that he said. He was talking about this time and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This was maybe a year or two ago. And we were seeing that. We were seeing some things happen. And I'm like, yeah, this outpouring of the Spirit. Almost like he said that as the harvest comes, normally you have to kind of go down and then you go into this time of planning for a new harvest. But he said, no, this is like harvest after harvest, that God is doing some things. And I was walking through that. But then he said this. He said, and it has nothing to do with you. You just happen to be at the right place at the right time, right? It had nothing to do with me, because it'd be so easy to go, yeah, we're experiencing some great things. Oh, I'm a pretty good pastor, aren't I? Yeah. Nothing to do with me. Has everything to do with the Lord. It's not about us. And here in the church, we have to understand, it's not about big programs and fancy services, okay? You know, I love the fact we're a small church. I was a tech guy, and I love that we can have the screens and put graphics, and I love that we have a full worship team and all those kind of things. But that's not what it's about. It's about extending the kingdom of God. Because if we have all this cool stuff and lives aren't being changed, who really cares? If we have absolutely nothing and we show up underneath a tent in the middle of the rain and people's lives are being impacted and changed, that's what matters. It's about extending the kingdom of God. It's about seeing His mission fulfilled in and through our lives. And when we're doing the things God has called us to do, and when we're seeking to carry out His mission, one thing we can be sure of is the fact that we're going to face opposition along the way. I don't know too many people where the enemy has been like, oh man, they're moving, God's doing great things in them, I'm just going to leave them alone. Right? Some people are like, yeah, I'm great, I haven't had any trials or struggles or anything. It's like, are you really serving God then? That's a question I want to ask sometimes. I don't say that as a pastor sometimes. But because if we're doing the right things, we're going to face opposition. When we look at these scriptures, we see a couple different times here, Paul and Barnabas faced opposition as they were trying to carry out the mission of sharing the gospel. We saw it at the very beginning where Paul and Barnabas were sharing the gospel with this proconsul and this false prophet named Bar-Jesus was trying to distract them, was trying to distract the proconsul, right? Was trying to get in the way of the mission. And then we saw it at the end here where the Jews began to contradict Paul's message and began to be abusive towards him and towards Barnabas. And these things happen. And the sad thing is oftentimes these challenges and these distractions are successful at getting us off track. They pull us in the wrong direction. And it's because a lot of times we allow our fears and our doubts to cause us to change course. How many times, man, have we felt, yeah, God's calling me this, and we start to go down that road. Oh, that must have been a mistake. I feel like I'm hitting a dead end. I feel like the doors aren't opening. Let me just say this. I'm not a big believer of the fact that, oh, well, if we follow God, the doors will just open for us. I'm not a firm believer in that. I mean, I believe God can open those doors. But sometimes the enemy is standing on the door trying to keep it shut. And you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I think that scripture, it's this picture of what the enemy tries to do. The enemy tries to come and surround us and tries to put up these doors, these gates, these walls. And God says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Kick the stinking doors down and keep moving forward because I've called you to this. Don't allow these distractions and things to keep you from doing what I've called you to do. We have to be faithful to keep moving forward, even in the midst of opposition. If God called us to this situation, He's going to give us what we need to get through it. We can't fall into that false mentality that I talked about earlier, where when we say yes to Jesus, well, everything just gets easy. The doors just swing open. You know, it's like those, my kids love the handicap little buttons now because you can just walk up, hit the button, and you don't even have to touch the door. It just whoop, and it's cool. You know, you just walk right through. Or those doors at the grocery store that open for you automatically. We just think that automatically, I am a child of God. Whoo, the door will open. Right? Sometimes we got to bust the door open. Sometimes we got to knock out the window and crawl through. We have to keep moving forward and trusting in the Lord. We have to realize we're going to face challenges. We're going to come up against opposition when we're following Jesus. But like Paul and Barnabas, we have to stay focused on our mission. In the midst of opposition and persecution, I love in verse 47, they proclaim with boldness, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. And He's speaking to these Jews that are speaking opposition and being abusive towards them. And they're just like, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. They hadn't forgotten their mission. And this is our mission as well. We forget that. We get so caught up in, oh, just living life and enjoying everything around us. And it's great. We should enjoy this wonderful world that the Lord created. But we can't lose sight of what our mission is, to be salt and light and to extend His kingdom, to love people, to show grace towards people in the same way that Jesus did. He is calling us on this great adventure. And as challenging as it may seem, He promises us this: it will be worth it. What you face in this world, it's just a blip in time compared to eternity. And what you do for me, it will be worth it. Because if we're faithful to focus on the Holy Spirit, if we're faithful to focus on the message, if we're faithful to focus on the mission, then when all is said and done, there will come a day where we'll be able to stand before the Lord and we will hear those words: well done, good and faithful servant. That's what it's about. That's what we're called to do. We can't lose focus. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word. Lord, I don't know. I pray it's the Holy Spirit in me that drives this passion, Lord. But I get excited about who You are and what You've called us to do and the mission that You've called each of us to be a part of, Lord. Acts is not just about the church some 2,000 years ago. It's about the church today. Going and being who You've called us to be. Making a difference in the world around us. Living lives for You, Lord Jesus. Because You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. And no one comes to the Father but by You. Lord, may we be doing all that we can possible to let people know that. That just in our lives as we walk in love and grace, that people will be drawn to You and to Your presence, Lord Jesus. May we be focused on You, Lord. Because I believe this, Lord, if we're focused on You, we'll be focused on the message, we'll be focused on the mission. And so, first and foremost, Lord, I just pray right now, if there's any of us that have lost focus, Lord, that it's about You, may You pull us back in, Lord, to that place where we can zero in on You and zero in on what You have for our lives, Lord, not our desires. Because, Lord, as much as we want to believe that our desires are good and faithful, we're human. And we start to pull towards ourselves instead of towards You. And so, Lord, help us to seek You. Help us to focus on You, to live the life that You've called us to live, to honor You, to glorify You in all that we do, Lord. Thank You for this word, Lord. I pray that it was not me, but I pray that it was You speaking to each of us. And I pray that You take this word and You apply it to each of us, Lord, where we're at. We're all on different paths of this great adventure, Lord, that You're taking us on. And we're all at different levels in our walk and relationship with You. And I just pray that, Lord, You allow those things that need to speak to each of us, that You would do that today, Lord, that as we walk out of this place, we would be different than when we came. And Lord, that we wouldn't walk away and forget, but that we would seek to focus more on You, to focus more on the message, to focus more on the mission, to be faithful to do the things You've called us to do. We thank You for these things. We give them to You in Jesus' name. Amen.